You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's AfterBuzz at the Movies. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's AfterBuzz at the Movies.
Bing is for doing, and what are we doing? We're here talking after Buzz at the Movies for the new Bruce Willis film, A Good Day to Die Hard. My name is John Campy. I'm the senior editor, actually, of Movie News over at AMC Theaters, and I will allow my co-host to introduce himself, starting with you, Crystal Lee.
Hey, guys, what's up? Crystal Lee Kennedy here.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dan Deavy, the owner and founder of TheCinemaSource.com, bringing you today's movies from tomorrow's perspectives. See, I added a little
so
something there. And you can follow us on Twitter, at TheCinemaSource. I feel like I need to plug more.
Somebody wake me up when Dan's done.
Anyway, we are here once again to talk about A Good Day to Die Hard, the new Bruce Willis film. And before we get into specifics about the film, I want to let you guys know that we are going to talk about this film, assuming that you've seen it. So doesn't mean you have to have seen it to watch us talk about it. I just want to give you that little warning. We're going to assume that you have. So let's start by talking our overall general impressions before we get into details about A Good Day to Die Hard. Dan, let's start with you.
I'm the same guy who hated Bullet to the Head, and I absolutely loved this movie. Loved it. Loved it. I thought it did everything it was supposed to do. I thought Bruce Willis was convincing in his role. I thought it was a real passing of the torch, which is the type of action film these stars should be doing. I do think he overdid the whole I'm on vacation line, because that got one laugh, but then they did it like six or seven more times. But overall, really enjoyed it. Good time at the movies.
Crystal Lee?
We actually agree on something.
Oh, up here.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I thoroughly enjoyed this film. From beginning to end, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was everything that I was looking for. A lot of stuff blew up. There was action from beginning to end. I thought the story was great. I loved it.
Once again, I have to fly in and be the savior of common sense and civilization. This movie ain't that good.
No!
It's got, I think last time I checked, it's got like a 15% on the Rotten Tomatoes rating. But I will say this about it. It absolutely, completely, 100% flat on its face failed as a Die Hard movie. But take away the Die Hard title law out of it and call it generic action flick, consequently starring Bruce Willis, and it's not that bad, actually. So I don't think it's nearly as bad, actually, as a lot of people are making out to be, but I don't happen to think it's quite as good as you guys think it is. Let's start with Bruce Willis, then. Crystal Lee, when we talked, Dan mentioned he did the whole vacation line an awful lot. Now, for those of you seen the trailer, you know the film is basically predicated. It doesn't go any deeper than the trailer suggests. Bruce Willis is going to go to Russia because his kid's in trouble. That's it. There's the story right there. There's all your narrative. How do we feel? Like, we've talked about Schwarzenegger recently. We talked about Stallone recently. How does Bruce Willis to you, Crystal Lee, stand up as an action hero today?
Oh, that's such a trick question. That's such a trick question. I don't like you anymore, John. He does not stack up to Schwarzenegger or Stallone in the past couple movies that I've seen. He does not have the fight scenes that these guys have. He doesn't stand up in that way. But in this film, I thought he was great. I thought that I actually really liked every single time he delivered the I'm on a vacation line. I may have been the only person in the theater that laughed at them. I will admit to that. But I did like them, and I thought it was quirky. And I think that he has great timing on delivering things like that, which makes him better. But when it comes to the action, the fight scenes, the things that I liked about Bullet to the Head and Stallone, I didn't get from him with this. But I didn't expect that from him in this.
All right, Dan, what about you?
So that's good. So we agree, but we agree for totally different reasons. So our trend is continuing. All right, good. Now, I thought he was far better than Stallone or Schwarzenegger because take away the action part, and Bruce Willis is an actual actor. Like, he's a regular man who is an actor. Stallone and Schwarzenegger are, you know, the steroided muscle guys who, you know, deliver the quippy one-liners, whatever. They've never done – well, Stallone kind of did, but they don't do like regular acting in addition to the action hero stuff. Bruce Willis does both. And I just took Bruce Willis more seriously in this role because it's believable that he is his age. He looks good for his age, but he looks his age. You don't look at him and say, what medical experiment has he been a part of? Like, he actually looks like he is supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that he had far less to do in this film than Jai Courtney did made sense, again, for the passing of the baton. Because at this age, he's doing what he should be. He comes in, he's supporting the new young guy who will probably be in the next one after it. And he'll continue to be in them, but more cameos, which is what I think these guys should be doing. And their involvement will just get progressively less and less. But I'm curious, what was missing to make it not a diehard film for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me start with Bruce Willis to start with. One of the things that I liked about Bruce Willis in this film, like, you know how much I liked The Last Stand with Schwarzenegger, and I really did enjoy the last Stallone movie. But I had some problems with Schwarzenegger and Stallone, more Schwarzenegger than Stallone, that, you know, I still dug the movie, I loved what they were doing, but I did have a hard time believing that this Arnold Schwarzenegger could do the things that he's doing in the movie. With Bruce Willis in A Good Day to Die Hard, I had no problem believing he was doing all the things that his character was doing. I had no problem believing he could run and jump out that window. I had no problem believing he could get in that gunfight. And I like they didn't have him get into any, like, quasi-ninja martial arts fights, because then I would have lost all my believability for it. But instead, they kept him to doing the things I could buy him doing that he's done in the other films. And so, you know what? Out of the three of them, I'm not going to say I like Bruce Willis more than Stallone or Schwarzenegger as the classic 80s era action stars, but I think I might like him best. I think he might be the best, I mean, at doing that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The thing that, to me, prevents it from being a good Die Hard movie. You know, when I think of Die Hard, I didn't mind Die Hard 2. No, I'll go further than that. I like Die Hard 2. Mm-hmm. But to me, Die Hard is the first Die Hard and Die Hard 3 with Jeremy Irons. To me, when I think of Die Hard, to me, those are the quintessential Die Hard films. And those films had incredible, powerful, memorable antagonists in Hans Gruber and, of course, then his brother. They had wonderful antagonists. And that's kind of what 2 was missing. That's kind of what 4 was missing. You know, all respects to Timothy Oliphant. That's what this one is missing. There's no memorable bad guy in it. And I think it's not just a Die Hard movie. All good action-adventure films need a strong villain. A memorable villain. Whether they're physically strong or not is irrelevant. And they just don't have that. Also, the story of the first and third Die Hards were great. I mean, Die Hard 3 played like one of the best heist films I've ever seen. It's incredible the way that plays out with a strong villain, all that kind of stuff put together. A Good Day to Die Hard just relegates itself to being a decent action flick. It's not a Die Hard movie. There's no great villain. There's no great plot. There's no great story. It's Bruce Willis goes to Russia for whatever throwaway reason, and he's going to get into a fight with his kid, and they're going to take out some bad guys. And that's great as a throwaway action film, and that's why I say on that level, I can appreciate it. Look, that car chase, car fight scene through the streets of Moscow was great.
Amazing.
It was not just good.
It was
not just passable. It was great. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you took out that scene, I might have just walked out of that movie hating it. But maybe not. It's hard to tell. But that scene alone, and it was a nice long scene, made it pretty damn memorable for me. But yeah, those lacking things, a great narrative. Like, Die Hard is not supposed to be a throwaway action franchise. It's supposed to be better than that, and it wasn't. Didn't have those elements for me. But I'm wondering, Chris Lee, let's go with you. Why does this film elevate beyond just a half-decent action flick for you? Why did you love it so much?
You know, I wonder if part of it is because it's been so long since I've seen a Die Hard film that I was just really excited to see Bruce Willis back on. And I think the thing that makes him almost better to watch than Stallone or Schwarzenegger is his timing and the way that he says things and the parts that he plays. I think that that is what I like about him. He's more of a likable guy to me. He's more of a believable person to sit and watch. So I totally agree with you there. But I felt like from, I actually liked the story. I liked the twist of the guy we thought they were saving turning into the guy that ended up being the one that was corrupt.
But you didn't see that coming.
I totally didn't. Really? I really didn't see it coming. I really didn't. I really believed that he was just this little old guy trying to get his daughter out. So I believed all of that, and I didn't see that coming. And maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much. From beginning to end, there was no moment in the film where I was bored or wondering what time it was. It was nonstop action, and that's something that I thoroughly enjoy.
Dan, what about you? Well, what's it for you that took it to that extra level for you that you loved it?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I agree with you about the antagonist. And because as you started saying it, I thought to myself, wait, who was the bad guy?
Yeah.
Who was the – I started like going through my brain. I was like, oh, that's right. The dad who is and then isn't and the girl who is and then isn't. And it was like, oh, okay, right. Because when I think of this movie, I think of the father-son relationship. I think of the incredible car scene that you referenced because they did things with cars that we haven't seen before. Yeah. I mean, and I felt that's the same way about the last Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard. When I think of that film, and I only saw that once right before it came out, and in my brain, when I think of it, I think of the fighter jet sequence, and I think of Timothy Oliphant as an amazing villain. So in that one, the antagonist I thought was really good. So when I think back to that film, that pops into my head. For this one, it will be the father-son relationship and that crazy good car chase. Mm-hmm. And I think also on your point of it's been so long since we've seen a Die Hard film that it gave me what I thought I wanted. Now, if I went back and rewatched 1, 2, and 3, I probably have a different thing to say right now because those aren't in the forefront of my mind. It's been decades since I've seen those films. So my answer might be different had I done that. But coming fresh off of all those years since Live Free or Die Hard, it gave me everything I wanted. The only – my big complaint is I wanted at least one scene between father and son talking about their estranged relationship where it wasn't in the middle of some kind of shoot 'em up action like – what do you mean I didn't go to your baseball game? Oh, look out for that boulder. You know, like, I wanted a scene where it was just them actually talking about their relationship. Not crazy, not really long, nothing, you know, saccharine or anything, but just one moment between the two that wasn't interrupted by bullets flying. But other than that, I thought it was
great. There are a couple things they could have done that would have helped me buy into that father-son dynamic because I didn't buy it at all.
Really?
It was, first of all, something obviously really big and traumatic happened that completely severed their relationship. I still don't know what that was.
No.
Fine. But they go
He just wasn't there. He was off saving the world.
The way that relationship was, what was suggested to me in the movie is that the relationship didn't slowly deteriorate through negligence. It really struck me as some pivotal event happened that completely broke their relationship. That's the impression I got. Mm-hmm. But that being said, the movie for me and their relationship for me went from I hate my dad to cut back. I really respect and love my dad again. Like there was I found no progression in that. Like that one forced little totally terrible scene of Jai Courtney just standing around the corner of the dump truck hearing his dad talking so heartwarmingly, I should have been a better dad. Really? That's
awkward.
The time to have that conversation? Really? And from that, everything just the clouds of revelation open up before Jai Courtney's eyes and he realizes, hey, my dad's actually a pretty good guy. So because of that, that whole father-son relationship to me never worked. But that actually is a good segue here. Let's talk about Jai Courtney. Now to me, he will always be, no matter how good or bad this movie was, to me, he will always be Varro. For any of you who watched Spartacus, he was Varro in season one, one of the best characters in season one, just one of the most wow, they killed him off kind of characters I've ever seen on TV. And I loved him in that. So we know that he's not just doing a cameo in this film. They may be setting him up to take over this franchise. Bruce Willis has said this week that they're going to make more Die Hard films. And he, intimated that he's going to be in him. So I don't know how big of a small role Jai Courtney is. So, but let's talk about how he did. How do you feel Jai Courtney fits into this whole Die Hard franchise?
I think he is going to be one of our next big action heroes. I think he has everything that an action hero needs to have. He has the looks. He has the skills. He has the acting ability, which a lot of them don't. Mm-hmm. To your point about Spartacus, I thought he was amazing on Spartacus. And with Jack Reacher last year,
he was probably the best part of Jack Reacher.
He was. Yeah. He was. And in this one, to have him actually have the plot centering around him more than Bruce Willis, he actually has more lines in this than Bruce Willis does. So they really are, I think, getting it set up so that in the next movie, it'll be the same thing. Jai will have a little bit more than he did in this, and Bruce will have a little bit less. And then do another one until we get to the point where it's that smooth transition where we don't have to see a 70-year-old man still carrying, you know, the burden of saving the world. It just, this movie just makes more sense. And I think he steps up to the plate exactly the way he should, and this guy is not going anywhere. I think he's going to be around for a long, long time, and I think that's an awesome thing.
So, Chris Lee, answer that same question, but also tag on to that. How do you think Courtney did? But more than that, going on with what Dan just said, do you think audience members will continue to go see a Die Hard movie where Bruce Willis isn't the main guy? So try answering both of those at once.
You know, it's funny. This is the second time that I've gone to one of these alone. I went to Bolt Ahead alone, and I've gone to this alone. And I was, again, the only woman in the theater. And I'm so surprised by that. And I don't know if women just aren't going to see these films because it's the total guy flick of things blowing up. But the action is amazing. The story was good. And I cried at the end. I thought Jai was amazing. And
I'm sorry you lost me at I cried at the end.
I did. I totally cried when I got off the plane. It was such a girl moment for me. And I don't have many of those, so you have to let me have them when I get them.
When they got off the plane
they
at the
did.
End?
I totally cried.
With the sunset behind them and the slow motion walking.
That was such a Michael Bay moment. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't have these girl moments, okay? Wait till you see the Safe Haven review. I'll tell you about my non-girl moments. But I thought Jai was amazing, and I thought that he did carry the film very well. And I think because of the way they were setting it up with this film, I do think that people will continue to watch Die Hard if Bruce Willis steps back a little bit and Jai steps forward. I think that they've given him, with this movie, so much more than Bruce Willis that they are setting him up to succeed. And I feel like fans will want to root for him, especially because it's his son and it's kind of a legacy now. And I think that fans will show up for that.
And they also – the daughter from Live Free or Die Hard shows up in this twice, mm-hmm. very briefly.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
So we know that we're not just – as far as the franchise goes, we're not forgetting that she exists. We're not forgetting that she was all in the action in the last one.
But where was Justin Long, her boyfriend? Well, was Justin Long?
Why that was my question. Like, he could have really helped out. But for the next one, I mean, I could totally see brother, sister, and then the dad. Because the thing about Bruce Willis is that even if he has less to do in the film, he has a presence.
Absolutely.
Put that man on screen for a fraction of the time that you would need to see a Schwarzenegger or Stallone, and you just feel like he's in the rest of the film. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be on screen for every shot in order for his part in the movie to be pivotal and for audiences to connect with him.
He just needs to be on a vacation.
Just on vacation. And hopefully referencing it 9 times. But, you know...
And I feel so bad for Mary Elizabeth Winstead because her career had some momentum. She did Scott Pilgrim versus the World, in which mm-hmm. she was great.
Awesome.
And I love that movie. And then came The Thing. And then we never really heard from Mary Elizabeth Winstead again until she was in what was she in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Oy.
Yes.
Oh, did you cry at that one?
I didn't see that one.
Okay,
but let me get to Jai Courtney here. I love him in Spartacus. I thought he was the best part of Jack Reacher. I was not overly impressed with him in this film. To be really honest, and he's got the physical size. I think he's got action skills, but unlike say a Jason Momoa, I still haven't. And this can change. But as of now, I don't feel that star power in him. I don't look at him and think this guy could be a breakout A-list star. I mean, it's funny because we were talking about Jason Momoa out of Bullet to the Head, and he's got this, and I think it was just announced that he's probably going to get one of the main roles in the upcoming Marvel film, Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's fantastic. Leading.
He's going to probably play Drax the Destroyer, one of the main characters going into Avengers Part 2. I mean, because I think he's got that star power, and maybe Jai Courtney can have that. I just haven't seen it yet.
I don't think he compares to Jason Momoa. I will say that. I think Jason Momoa is definitely a step above. But with Jai and this franchise, I think because because of the legacy of the family, he'll do well here. I'm not saying he'll do well everywhere else, but I think here he'll do well.
I think it's apples and oranges with Jai and Jason, because I would never think of casting either in the other's roles. Jason has that dark, edgy, is he going to hug me or is he going to beat the crap out of me? Whereas you look at Jai, and Jai can play villains, as we saw in Jack Reacher. He was the bad guy in that. He's the good guy in this. He was a good guy in Spartacus, but he was a good guy who could also kick some ass. So I look at Jai more in a hero mold and Jason more in a you don't know exactly what you're going to get
kind of thing.
And I mean, also, I mean, if you're not sold on Jai, just go back to this film. And when he's on screen, just stare in his eyes. Just don't let your eyes move. You will fall in love.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And if you don't, well, you might not. You did. I did.
I loved it.
He's got it. He's got it.
All right. Well, let's go around the horn then here and give just sum up our feelings on the film and give it a score out of five. Chrisalee, let's start with you.
John's going to roll over. I'm ready for him to roll over. I give it 4.5. I don't think it's Oscar worthy. I don't think it's going to win an awards, but I think it did exactly what I wanted it to. It kept me entertained and happy. And stuff blew up everywhere, and there wasn't anything other than the awkward conversation between the two dads that I felt was not needed. Everything else I thoroughly enjoyed in the film, so I loved it.
Dan?
I'm going to surprise everyone and completely agree and give it a 4.5. Everybody knows I've been griping that I haven't seen movies lately that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I swear I love a lot of movies. So when I went into this and just found myself loving every minute of it and being wowed by the action and wowed by Jai and thoroughly happy with Bruce, I thought, oh my God, wait, am I having fun? Am I enjoying every minute of this? This is fantastic. So 4.5. And the only reason it's not a 5 is because I wanted just that one extra scene of something real between father and son. If that had been there, it would have been a 5 for me. But without that, 4.5.
I am just flabbergasted. No. Once again, I'm going to reiterate. I don't buy the 18% that it's getting on the critic ratings right now. I would put it more around... But it's not a good movie. I would put it around the 40% thing, or in our case, a 2 out of 5. I think a fabulous car chase at the beginning, some half decent action else, you know, built around that, and Bruce Willis is being Bruce Willis, but it does not deserve to wear the title of Die Hard. No memorable villain, no really good plot line. All those things just took away from it too much. So while I don't despise it as much as most people, I don't like it nearly as much as you guys. So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5. Well, listen, folks, that'll do it for us. Chrisalee, you want to take us out?
Yes. Guys, thank you so much for listening as always. We want you to go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate, comment, tell us what you think about the films, because we do check them out and we do like to hear what you have to say. And we want to know which one of us you agree with. So get on there and tell us. Why don't you guys tell us where we can find you?
Absolutely. You can find me on thecinemasource.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at thecinemasource.
You can find me on Twitter at John Campia.
And guys, you can find me on Twitter at Chrisalee, and you can follow all of us here at AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter. Thank you guys for joining us for another AfterBuzz at the Movies, and we hope you'll check out our next movie.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.